Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 21st chapter, 20 verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, yeah, I'm here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I will hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, can you hear clearly, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, okay.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm going live also on Facebook. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीगुरुजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहकनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर एट दिस फोर्थ कैंटो 21st चैप्टर 21st वर्स And here this verse is spoken by Prithu Maharaj. As we know, Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Lord. And Prithu Maharaj here is speaking, here he is doing something which is very important for all devotees to do. So let us read the verse and let us read the purport and try to realize the wonderful points that Srila Prabhupada has given us.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, in the live we cannot hear you, Prabhu.
Okay, one second, hold on. Yes, it's a bit like phone, sir.
Yeah.
One second, I'll join with the other phone. Can you hear now clearly, Mataji?
Not on the phone, Prabhuji. On YouTube, I'm saying it's not audible in YouTube.
Now you can hear?
No, Prabhu. On YouTube live, Prabhu, live. On YouTube, we cannot hear. On the phone, we can hear you. Now it's clear in the phone.
Oh, you are saying you are not able to hear on YouTube?
YouTube, yeah.
Oh, okay. YouTube. Okay. Hare Krishna. Oh, that YouTube, somehow the mic is not working. I don't know.
Okay. No problem, Prabhuji. That's fine. Then I will share this.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. So we'll continue with the phone.
Sure, Prabhuji. Sure. Continue. Hare Krishna.
Okay. राजोवाच शब्द्याः श्रणुता भद्रं वः साद्यो वा इह गताः शत्सु जिज्ञासुभिर्धर्मम् अवेद्यं स्वमानिषितम् किंग प्रुतु सेड ओ जेंटल मेंबर्स ऑफ द असेंबली मे ऑल गुड फॉर्च्यून बी अपॉन यू May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting, kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. Purport. In this verse, the word sadhavaha, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies. For envy is the nature of materialists. In any meeting, there are different classes of men. And therefore, it is supposed that because Prithu Maharaj was great, he must have led several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with persons who are gentle, and therefore he first addressed all honest persons, not caring for the envious. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority empowered to command everyone, for he wanted to present his statement in humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble, meek and honest that he presented his statement for approval in order to clarify his mature decision. Everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of nature and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all these, still, like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented these statements to the great soul, sages, saintly persons presented there.
Hare Krishna. So, we can see yesterday here in Charlotte, we were discussing the same theme actually, about enviousness. And see, today Krishna is in this purport very beautifully. He is explaining how enviousness is the nature of materialists. So, Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly, moment you become successful, naturally there will be enemies. So, it is expected. So, unfortunately, we see this is the case even when you come to the temples also. There is a story during Ramanujacharya's time, when one grahastha couple were very advanced, and Ramanujacharya used to like them a lot. And all these brahmacharis who were living with Ramanujacharya, they were getting very envious of this grahastha couple. And they decided to test them. So, Ramanujacharya, in his test, he told the brahmacharis, okay, you go and you steal their jewels at night. And this grahastha, the couple was sleeping, and the brahmacharis went and started stealing the jewels from right from her neck itself and everywhere else in the house. The couple woke up naturally, but they saw that they were all brahmacharis. And they did not even speak anything because they thought, "Oh, temple must be needing money. So they are taking like this. But we should not disturb them. We should become non-envious and we should support our temple." And they actually supported the temple that way. They just slept. They just acted as though they slept and they took away everything. And next morning, all the people in the temple knew that all their jewels, money, everything was gone. But when this couple came for their daily service in the temple, they did not seem a little bit disturbed also. They came, went about their services, regular seva, cooking, whatever they are doing in the temple, they went on regularly. And these brahmacharis were shocked. What is this? There is no tension. There is no stress. And then what happened is that after some time, Ramanujacharya called all the brahmacharis and he told them, look how advanced they are. They lost everything, yet they are doing their service. So Ramanujacharya, next day morning, these brahmacharis had a big rope where everybody used to hang their kopins. So it took away all their kopins before Mangalarti, before they could take bath and change. And all brahmacharis woke up, they took bath, but they did not find their kopins and they started fighting with each other. Where is your kopin? Where is your kopin? You took it, this, that. Everybody started fighting with each other. And when Ramanujacharya saw them, And he said, look, they lost everything, they did not panic. And you people are just, I just kept your kopins aside and you started fighting like anything. Look at how attached you are to your kopins. So we can see that even if one lives in a temple, even if one lives in a house, you carry with you your conditioned state. It is not that by living in a certain place one gets advancement, but wherever you are, how you act, how you think, how you apply the philosophy is what changes you. There are two important pillars of our Krishna consciousness philosophy which we have to do every day. One is offenseless chanting, and second is to study this Bhagavatam very, very systematically, and we can see why. For example, even in this purport, if you examine, Srila Prabhupada explains a very, very important quality of a devotee. He says he is very, very humble and meek. There are two ways when you are dealing with a practical situation. Like in many places we find devotees come in confrontation with each other many a times. And when you confront, the usual thing is you write emails, you fight, you complain to the best possible authority. So this is what we usually do. But to be able to tolerate that situation, to control oneself, sometimes some things you may think is not acceptable for you. You think even this is Krishna consciousness. But we should understand by the example of Bhagavatam that even devotees can be in three modes. Devotees, even devotion can be done in three modes. Like in Bhagavatam, there is Daksha who is doing bhakti in the mode of ignorance. So Daksha is an example of mode of ignorance. So what happened to him? He had a fight with Lord Shiva. So this is an example of devotees fighting. So he had a fight with Lord Shiva and all these things happened. Then what happened? He lost his head. He had to get the head of a goat. And finally, if you see the timeline in Srimad Bhagavatam, this same Daksha becomes born as Daksha again. And because he had done some devotion, the Lord gives him an opportunity again, but this time he is very, very careful not to commit those offenses. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj is an example of mode of passion. Dhruva Maharaj's devotion, he is in the mode of passion. And that is the difference why the Lord, even though in the end Dhruva Maharaj says, I do not want whatever you want to give me, but he gives Dhruva Maharaj the kingdom, he gives him a place in the North Pole. And we can see that this position is not easily attainable. So devotion in the mode of passion, the Lord wants to show also that I will give you what you desire, which is not easy. The Lord gives you what you desire. This is Krishna's promise. He keeps his promise. And he wants to show also the future devotees also that even if you come with passion, like he says in Bhagavatam, akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purusha param, that even if you come to the Lord with desire, the Lord still fulfills your desire, yet keeps your bhakti. So that is in the mode of passion. But the mode of goodness here is Prithu Maharaj. You can see the devotee in the mode of goodness is always Prithu Maharaj. The only thing that your envious people cannot attack you is in this verse. So Prabhupada mentions both. It is so, and this was the same point we were discussing actually yesterday, that this material world is always full of envious and people. So what happens is, even if we become devotees, we are trying to work on our nature. Our nature is not yet purified. And the moment your sadhana becomes weak, your old nature comes up. That is why it is called as samskara. Samskara means your old nature is already there. See, the very fact all of you had the privilege of having Hari Parshad Prabhu on this Bhakti Sangha conference call, and one of the sentences he said is very important. We were all born in Satyuga. We made a mess. We fought with the devotees. Then we came to Treta Yuga. Again we fought with devotees. Then we came to what do you call it, Dwapara Yuga. And then again we committed Vaishnava Aparadha. And then finally we are in Kali Yuga. And this is our, in one sense, last opportunity. The next Yuga is going to be horrible. You can see everybody is fighting today for climate, fighting for this. Imagine 100 years later, if you are born again. Imagine no climate. There is at least milk available now. At that time, we don't know. So, we have to clean up our act, so to speak. So, if we want to clean up our act, then we have to apply the principle. So, Srila Prabhupada says, he is a king. That Raja, this Prithu, he is a king. He could have easily given an order. But when you give an order, everybody begins to, everybody can say, "Are, he did not discuss with us, who does he think he is?" Immediately they can, even though he is the king, even Lord Ram, in front of everybody, he purified Sita with that Agni Pariksha, yet the Dhobi, he raised an objection. Yet he raised an objection. So even after doing so much, they can still raise an objection. So if he passes an order, why will they not raise an objection? So what he does, before he passes the order, he presents it in a humble and meek manner before the devotees, before the wise people, before the sadhavaha. So Prabhupada specifically states in the purport, he says he avoids the envious people. Because envious people, no matter what you do, they will only try to find fault. So the best thing is, with envious people, with people who fight, one should avoid them. So if you have a confrontational situation where you have to fight, avoid it. It's not worth it. It's not fighting. It's not worth fighting. I remember so many devotees, because I was in Bangalore, there were so many devotees, so many trickism, so many fighting was going on. Every time you have a fight and you try to convince, it only gets worse. It only gets worse. So, there is no way, Bhanu Maharaj said in one class, there is no way that when two parties are trying to sit and argue and trying to prove each other right, nobody will win. Because even if your argument is right, the envious person will never accept your argument. Even if you are right, the envious person cannot accept. So, there is no point in sitting and arguing, no point in sitting and fighting. So what is the practical solution? Avoid argumentation, avoid fighting. So here in the sentence, Prabhupada clearly says he avoided envious people. In the Yoga Sutras, it says, Maitri Karuna Mudita Upekshanam Punya Punya Bhavanatah Chitta Prasadanam. He says, if you want to keep your mind cool, he says, Maitri, make friends with the sadhava, make friends with advanced yogis. Always take advice, ideas from them, because we are concerned with our, with the cultivation of the soul. Every moment, no matter, I was discussing with Dallas Temple President Nityananda Prabhu, and he was saying the Hare Krishna movement will go on. But now we have to make devotees, we have to boil devotees, we have to make devotees who have these spiritual qualities, that is what we are lacking. This should be our movement now. We have enough people. We have enough people who have made devotees. Prabhupada did not want a lot of devotees, but all of them who are neophytes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he left this planet, it is said, at the age of 65, although he was a Naishtika Brahmachari, he said he saw too many neophytes. He said, this is too much. So devotees means we should know how to apply viveka, how to deal with the devotees. And that is what pleases Krishna within the heart. Because he is watching how you are dealing with another devotee. If you are always fighting, criticizing, putting them down, what is the point? So, he says in the Yoga Sutra, Maitri, become sadhu, become friends with the devotees. Karuna, those who are younger, those who are beginning in devotion, show compassion. Mudita, those who are, what we say, donors or friendly to you, those who like your program but they are not chanting, they are interested. So keep good relations. And upekshana, so those who are envious, those who are fighting in nature, so they may come to temple, this, that, just avoid. Because Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. The real quality of a person who is really learned is he is humble. So only advice when you are asked to advise. Only advise devotees. Some people are stubborn, they are ready to fight. So what do? Avoid. They are not ready to take advice, avoid. Then let them do it, because even Krishna has left you free in this world and he will not advise you until you surrender. You can see even in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, first he starts fighting. Fighting in the sense he starts putting all these questions. Krishna, this will happen. Krishna, that will happen. Krishna, these children will not have any place to go. Krishna, this. Krishna, that. He puts 101 questions. And what does Krishna reply? Krishna does not give any answer. Krishna just simply says, Shudram Radeya Dorbilyam, Takto Tishta Parantapa, Arjuna, you are such a great warrior. Come on, stand up and fight. Come on. He's doing cheerleading, basically. He's not doing any Bhagavad Gita. He's doing telling, come on, fight. You are such a good family. Come on, stand up and fight. Arjuna realizes at that point, Prabhupada says, when friendly talks do not give solution, he surrenders. So this is the quality of a devotee. Trinadapi Suni Chena. So he is always humble, like humbler than the blade of grass. Humbler than the blade of grass. But we are standing like the tree. We are not humble. Trinadapi Suni Chena Taro Riva Sahishno. It is very, very difficult. And Ayanda Prabhu gives the translation for this. He says, we are ready to do whatever it takes to please Krishna. That is the interpretation of Taro Riva Sahishnuna. I am ready to bear whatever, I am ready to tolerate whatever difficulties. So sometimes devotees might fry you, boil you, take you through a lot of difficulties. But the most important test of a devotee, if he has controlled his mind and senses, it is said how a devotee can, how much a devotee has controlled himself in the most provocative situation. That is the test, because that's when your real nature comes out. So in our heart, the six enemies are there: kama, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsar. And we see in the example of Yashoda Mai that first these six children are killed, and then Balaram and Krishna are born. So Balaram is guru, then Krishna is born. So when our heart, only when it is free from these six qualities, and these six qualities are only gone, only when Krishna, who is the Paramatma, who is standing right next there. Once, I heard one very senior devotee, he was saying that Krishna is watching right next there. And moment he sees that devotee's heart, he's seeing the devotee's heart directly, he's seeing your subtle body, he's seeing you directly, he knows everything. And moment he says it is being filled up with pride, moment he sees it is being filled up with everything else, then he gives permission to Maya. He gives visa, passport, green card, everything. Go attack this guy. And the more we try to fight it, the more we try to prove, you don't need to do anything. Krishna will arrange everything because he is within the heart. So in our heart, heart of our heart, if the more we are sincere within our heart, the we don't have to show anybody else, because Paramatma is right in our heart, Paramatma is in everybody's heart, he will inspire the other person within their heart. So sincerity should be there within, because externally, Prabhupada says, one can make a show of bhakti. Externally, we can all make a show. We are trying very hard. Just like in India, there was this great saint, even people today worship him, called Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur invited him, and they wanted to test who is this. And externally he was saying, I am not affected by Hinduism, Islam, this, so many things happened. But then immediately Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati discovered that he is a fraud. So immediately he started chanting, oh, Sri Gaur Nitai, Gaur Nitai, Gaur Nitai, and he was rolling on the ground as if he was in ecstasy. But immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranged a piece of meat to test him. So as soon as the meat came, he immediately started eating, and he said, oh, You know, for me, it doesn't matter because you can, this is in Islam, they eat, so I follow Islam also, I follow this. Immediately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could understand, he's just making a show, saying, Jai Gaur Nitai, Jai this, Jai that. So, we can all make a show. But at the moment, when this enjoyment is presented before us, how much you are able to genuinely control it depends on your sincerity within the heart, because that control is given by Krishna. So this so-called Ramakrishna, he could not control and he ate that piece of meat. So similarly, we have to see that whether our intention, we may be failing in the process, but it is just like a child trying to walk. Eventually he will walk. It is programmed. The Lord says, Prabhupada says very beautifully, when the Lord sanctions, your legs will work. When the Lord sanctions, your hands will work. And everything will work. So it is, we have to realize, we have to understand that everything ultimately, sometimes we see this is the cause, that is the cause. But ultimately the cause is the Lord. The cause is the Lord. And the only way to attract the mercy of the Lord is to ourselves become very meek and humble. And this is the quality of a devotee in the mode of goodness. Because in general, those even we may join the group of devotees, but if we follow the process sincere only, there will be progress. If you follow the process very, very sincerely, only then there is progress. Your heart will be continuously cleansed. But because we were envious previously, because we were, all these tendencies are there within us. So that is called as prarabdha. This nature is there. The greatest achievement of devotional service is nothing else but the complete change of one's nature from material to transcendental. So this is called, so that is why we have prakriti, we have tamoguna, rajoguna, sattvaguna, and there is shuddha sattva. So when we become completely free from passion, Prabhupada says, sattvaguna, when completely purified from passion and ignorance, is called shuddha sattva. So this is in the third canto. So if we purify ourselves of passion and ignorance, then we see in the mode of goodness, then we don't have any, we actually don't have any qualms, so to speak, in surrendering unto and becoming humble. But in many times in our present situation, we are like in Daksha. If you see Daksha, he could not respect Lord Shiva. He could not respect Lord Shiva because he thought he became overly friendly. So sometimes what happens, even among devotees, instead of looking ourselves as devotees, sometimes we become overly friendly. So too much familiarity is contempt. So we should be very, very careful in the assembly of devotees to present ourselves very, very humble. Like one devotee was saying, Radhesham Prabhu, the temple president of Pune, when he is among devotees, he appears as though, he presents himself as though he is nothing. He is just very, very humble. He is in his own corner, he is very simple. But then devotees tell us that he is very humble when he is with devotees. But when he is preaching, he is like a lion. So that is the quality of a devotee. I met this wonderful book distributor. Forget his name. He is from Los Angeles. Very wonderful soul when he speaks. He turns, I think his name is Chaitanya, some young devotee. And I met him in Las Vegas. I had the good fortune. So he came to Las Vegas and we were discussing. And then he was very quiet throughout the day. So I was speaking there. I was doing all different programs. And he was very quiet. And I knew from Facebook that he is a very, very, very powerful speaker. Then I said, Prabhu, you are so silent. You are very humble. You are very simple. Throughout the day, you did not... He said, whenever I am with devotees, I am eager to hear. I am eager to listen. I am eager to remain humble. But when my situation comes to preach, I like to jump like a lion, he said. And that is the mood of a devotee. So among devotees, it is always whenever we make big decisions, whenever we discuss big decisions, whenever we want to make big decisions, we have to discuss it with intelligent people. We have to discuss it in a very humble, mature way, present it among sadhavas. See, that is why we should confide with the devotees. Very, very important. So when you are in a local situation, when it's very, very important to have some devotee with whom you can confide, with whom you can open. Sometimes it could be even the husband and wife. Sometimes it could be somebody whom you are, who is your Shiksha Guru, somebody who is very... So when you open up to the right devotee, to the intelligent devotee, you get right advice. So that is why Prithu Maharaj is opening his conversation to Sadhavah. If you see the first sentence that Srila Prabhupada says, all great souls. Because if you speak to envious souls, they will only give you a wrong advice. So that's what happens when devotees, even among devotees, even among sometimes we have a very difficult controversial thing. If we fight, if we then our material nature, our passionate nature will come and we make passionate decisions. So only when we cultivate the mode of goodness or discuss with devotees who are in the mode of goodness, then you get that kind of advice. So always we see here that Mahajana, we should follow the footsteps of great souls. So Prabhupada explains here, everyone within this material world is conditioned by modes of material nature and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all these, still like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, sages and saintly persons present there. So Maharaj Prithu is above this, yet he is setting an example. So as devotees, we should remember we always have two things. One is to, of course, practice the philosophy and deal and behave that way. Why? Not just for ourselves, but also as an example. Because a lot of people follow us, a lot of people look at us, a lot of people try to understand from us. So we have to be an example for everybody else. So I would say in summary, in this wonderful verse, this beautiful verse, we can see that sadbhyaha, so that addressing the sadhus, addressing those who have achieved. So basically as devotees, we should learn that not ignore means not in a bad way, but we should realize that we respect everybody, we become humble, we always respect everybody, we don't carry. If you keep any anger, any frustration or something against anybody, that thing called anger that remains, that person will be eliminated, but that anger, it will burn you. So when we keep any enviousness, anger or something against anybody, ultimately that quality still resides within you. So who is the loser? Not that person. But because if you are thinking about that person, you are angry about somebody, you are envious about somebody, you are frustrated, all that qualities remain within you. So you will not be the happy devotee because you still carry something against somebody. So these qualities reside within you. You are trying to throw these things at that person, but ultimately they reside within you. So intelligent devotee is the one who learns to ignore. So yesterday in the class and yesterday I was speaking the same thing, that when Kali Purush is attacking Dharma the bull and Mother Earth in the form of cow, and when he asks, did this Kali Purush, he asks the bull and the cow, he asks, did this Kali Purush attack you? They don't give a direct answer because they are teaching us how we should think. And the bull and the cow, they say, some people say it is the mercy of the Lord. Some people say it is time. Some people say it is karma. Some people say... So you look at all different angles. Even for Kali to come and attack them at that time, it is, that means Lord has sanctioned Kali Yuga. So they are saying, how can we blame Kali directly? Because ultimately it is sanctioned by the Lord. Ultimately it is time. Ultimately it could be our karma. So you think of all different ways why things are happening like this, instead of, oh, he attacked me, you can see the proof, he attacked me, he is the one. So they are saying all these different things, and Gaur Krishna Maharaj tells very beautifully, he says, one who perpetrates a crime and one who speaks about a crime, both get equal punishment. Some devotee committed something wrong, then you call 10 devotees and tell, oh, this devotee did this, this devotee did. You get 10 times the karma that that person did. It is so difficult. Actually, until and unless we speak about somebody with compassion in a desire to correct the situation, in all humility, we should not speak about it. And if you cannot correct the situation, if you think something is beyond you, then present it before a senior Vaishnava and take away from it. Because when we as devotees, we get into this conflict situations, this is most dangerous for our spiritual health. So we should follow how great souls. So Prithu Maharaj is beyond everything. He is a pure devotee. He is an incarnation of the Lord. Yet he is presenting himself before the sadhus, before the devotees, very meek and humble. And then he is letting those devotees, just like expose yourself, you know, to expose yourself to the pure devotees, Sangha, their advice, their points. And in this way, this is the way devotees deal. And those are envious, you just keep neutral. You don't keep inimical. You don't become inimical or you don't become both. You don't become either inimical or too friendly. You just keep neutral. That is very, very difficult, neutral. You just, whenever they present themselves before you, deal with them nicely. Because, you know, you speak anything wrong, it could get worse for you. So we should learn to be neutral. And yet, those who are very nice devotees, one thing Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj told me personally, if you see, devotees always like to express their heart, and even Maharajas within ISKCON, if you see, they have their own nice, friendly relations with a few Maharajas with whom they can confide their heart. And everybody has a certain nature, so everybody tries to get very good association and tries to open up his heart and tries to live together. So as devotees, we should all try to be as much together as possible. We may have some difference of opinion, we may have whatever, but never come to the point of envious, because if we carry any envy in our heart, that means our spiritual progress has not even started. Therefore, try to be in Sattvaguna, try to always remain humble. And humble means we should always think that without... I read once... some situation was going on, and Adi Gadadhar Prabhu had put a beautiful quote. He said, we should always think that somebody did something wrong to us, but we should always think of that devotee who saved us. And because of that, we have this opportunity. And in that way, when we think of great souls, great devotees who learn, and Mahatma Prabhu is always talking about forgiving. If a devotee does not develop the quality of forgiveness, humility and forgiveness, then we cannot make much progress. So here we can see Prithu Maharaj is symbolizing always take good association, always remain humble, always remain forgiving, and learn how to remain neutral. In this way, our spiritual progress can become very, very fast. Hare Krishna. I will stop here. And any questions or comments, kindly welcome.
Yes, Prabhuji, today's lecture is very inspiring. I have seen in our Atlanta temple that there is some conflict between president and the senior counselor. So more than 7 or 8 months, nobody will come in the temple. No one is given a donation to the temple. That time from Pune temple, president, I forgot the name, Bal Krishna Prabhu, they explained that this is the Prabhupada temple and we should give a donation, and everybody start to give a donation, and somehow everything is become, everybody, then counselor also participate in the festival and in a donation. Those who are participating in the, those who are following that counselor, they also start to give a donation. Otherwise, the temple is going to collapse. So that, thank you, Prabhuji, today's lecture. We should be very humble. And when there is a conflict condition with the senior Vaishnava, it is very painful for us to see that the temple more than 400 Vaishnava, 450 Vaishnava came, and suddenly nobody is came in the temple. So that, thank you very much for today's lecture, Prabhuji. It's very, very inspiring. Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
See, one Hare Krishna. But one thing we have to realize, what I've realized is, no matter how much conflict is there, difficulty is there, nobody's pure devotion is not stopped by anything. So nobody is stopping anybody from chanting. So even if you want to come and serve the deities, so one who has higher philosophy, like I've seen, sometimes so many devotees fight, but yet they come to temple and during kirtan time, they do kirtans, because it is for the pleasure of the deities. Our fighting should not affect the deities, you know. So a higher thought always, yes. So definitely, I'm sure there is sometimes among devotees, there is, you know, they want to do this, do that, but we have to realize that we have to just, whenever our devotional service is there, even if we are fighting something, even if some situation presents before us, everything should be done in the mode of goodness with a humble attitude and presenting it before Krishna. And then our devotion should never be interrupted because of that. You know, our chanting, our reading, our devotional service, because ultimately all that we are trying to do is, and after many, many births, we have got this situation where we are able to practice devotional service. It should never be interrupted because of anything else. And if some situation makes you mentally become inimical or fight, or just keep away from the situation and focus on your devotional service. And ultimately, when you recover, your devotional service is going good, your intelligence is focused, then you will be in a position to give something. Otherwise, if you yourself are struggling, then you will not be able to give anybody anything else. So first situate ourselves in devotion nicely. And then when we want to deal with any situation, then just like Prithu Maharaj, how he speaks with great, completely with balance, addressing the sadhus, like Srila Prabhupada says, he is completely ignoring the envious. Krishna gives the intelligence to deal with difficult situations. So yes, and that is why Sanghe Shakti Kala Yuga. In Kali Yuga, as devotees come together, they form a nice devotional group, love each other, practice with each other, definitely, eventually solution can be found. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very nice comments. And you are sharing that Ramanuja Sahaja, right? If I got correctly. That story of that the echo phase, that was very nice, Prabhu. And also you are telling about like being envious to others, and being the devotee quality, being member of devotees, but if they are, you know, not into the pure level, is not needed, but being fully, you know, convinced by the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, practicing the devotional service, those devotees are mainly needed for us. And very nice points, Prabhu, and especially now just you have clarified about even those lot many disturbances are coming, that we should not disturb our sadhana. Sadhana should have to be going on. It's really very hard, Prabhu, when disturbances are there in our spiritual life or material life to continue our sadhana. But by hearing these classes, like you are speaking and all the speakers are speaking, by hearing again and again, we might meditate on it, and then we can try to get pass away that hard time, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very beautiful point.
Yes, Madhuji. So thank you so much, actually. When I've seen that the only thing that about devotional service, it should be uninterrupted, unmotivated. So many a times we do it, because we are influenced by this devotee, that devotee. But many a times, ultimately, we should realize that we should keep Guru. Guru is always very karunika, very merciful. And we should, although so many things might happen among devotees or this or that, but our focus, our sadhana should be completely focused on Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Parampara, Krishna. So that is our individual sadhana. So that should never be interrupted, because no matter what happens here, ultimately over a period of time, solution will come. But devotional service is not subjected to any material situation. And it has nothing to got to do with our material situation also. So devotional service should always continue, because no matter how much money one has, no matter what you have, wealth, property you have, that can go within few seconds. Within few seconds, and I've seen that also, many people's lives. One moment, everything is gone. They are not able to do anything. But then, something that can never be stolen from you is your spiritual quality. And that can only be stolen only when you commit Vaishnava offense. So we just avoid that, focus on Guru. And your spiritual qualities that you have cultivated, they should always be nurtured, because they can never be taken away. That is your real wealth. That is a devotee's real wealth, the spiritual qualities. And the more we cultivate, we should realize, over a period of time, we will be able to influence others with this wealth. We can distribute this wealth. So we should become wealthy by chanting more and more offenselessly. Thank you, Mandaji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. It was so enlightening. Thank you, Prabhu. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Prabhuji, one more thing, you explained that we should be very humble. And yes, Prabhuji, in that situation also we are doing seva in the kitchen and we not stop our seva. Because that is Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Srila Radha Gopinath seva. So we always serve a very humble mood. That is also a very important point in a bhakti.
Yes. Humility is the beginning of knowledge. I heard one very senior Vaishnava tell that if we become proud, then that very moment, just like Karna, he could not remember any of his teachings at the last moment. Krishna took away his intelligence and put him in a situation where he could not remember all his Vedic teachings. So similarly, if we are not humble, if we become proud, if we become against, or if we commit Vaishnava offenses, then somehow or the other, Krishna will make us forget. Krishna will, because Krishna is inviting you to his most intimate group of devotees in Goloka. And there, everybody is humble, and we should not think that the nature that we cultivate now, and when it pleases Krishna, only then he will remove the covering. So without humility, I've seen the moment you become little proud, everybody else around you, the moment you cultivate some material quality, everybody else around you, their material quality is also encouraged. So it's very dangerous to not be. When you become humble, everybody else, they cannot treat you. They have to treat you in a certain way. Even the holy name. So he sees, the holy name is a person, Harinam Prabhu. He sees you are humble. Then he enters your heart. So the beginning, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmini Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Supakecha Pandita Samadarshina. Such a person becomes a pandit, because when he is humble, that knowledge always remains with him. Moment you become proud, you lose that knowledge. You deal with people in a different way. And Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj other day was telling the very beautiful story of Sudhama. And when Sudhama went back, Krishna ate poha, and with one poha, when he ate, he got houses of gold, silver, he had all these servants. First thought that came to Sudama's mind was, oh my God, hope I do not become proud. Because if I become proud, I will lose Krishna. I may have all this wealth, but I will lose Krishna. So pride kills our bhakti, our spiritual qualities, but humility preserves, humility cultivates, and humility is only without the base of humility, our spiritual life cannot grow. Actually, I did not realize this so much, but if you look at every class of Radhanath Maharaj or many, many Maharajas, the first thing they talk about is to become humble. You know, everybody is talking about humility and being humble, because until they practice, until they are given that empowerment by Krishna, because they are humble, not because they think they are better, but because they completely depend on Krishna. So with all humility, we have to completely depend on Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Jai, thank you, Prabhu. Koti koti dandavat pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Ji, dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So, thank you, Prabhuji, for the very beautiful class. Prabhuji, see, sometimes, you know, we try to preach and, you know, follow the thing, whatever we are doing, and like, you know, so we tell people we don't eat meat and all other things. And they take it in a wrong way that you are so proud and you think meat eating people or something, they are bad, and like that they take it in the wrong way that you are so proud of that you are vegetarian and you are so proud of this and like that. So how to, you know, so they teach us like you have to be humble. Yes, we have to be humble, but it's our regular duty that we don't eat meat and all that. So, how to take it in a both way, like, you know, remain humble
So the thing is, here, while preaching, instead of a specific situation, let me give you an overall realization that I had. So, if you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see Mayavadis are the most proud people, and when Prakashananda Saraswati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares when he was with Prakashananda Saraswati. So he had to attract the attention of Prakashananda Saraswati. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, he sat in the place where he had to wash, where people washed their feet. He sat down there. And when he sat down there, Prakashananda Saraswati came, he said, "You are such a beautiful looking sannyasi, you are sitting in this place where people are washing their feet." So he held Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hand and pulled him from there. "Arey, get up from here." So he pulled him. So when he pulled him, he immediately got Sukriti. Sukriti, because he did some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, some devotional service, out of like, "Arey, you are like this," like out of a little bit of love, you can say. He pulled him and immediately got Sukriti. So, if you see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first did, he gave them some Sukriti. So, that is why Srila Prabhupada wanted mass Sukriti first before we preach. So, there was Harinam and there was Prasadam distribution. So, in that way, first it is said, before we preach, you know, until and unless when they come, see, that is why Krishna says, don't preach to the envious in the Bhagavad Gita. Once I was preaching to a Muslim, and he gave prasad, and I was giving him, he was speaking a lot of common things. But then, by mistake, I told him, "This is prasadam, please take." He immediately said, "Oh, this is against our dharma, this and that," and he threw it on the floor. That was like many, many years ago, I realized. So, we have to become... Prabhupada said, ultimately we should make them appreciate, because Prakashananda Saraswati appreciated. Because when they appreciate, they get Sukriti. Somehow or the other, we should get them to appreciate. So Prabhupada said, you should sell the books in such a way that people will appreciate. Because the moment they appreciate, they get Sukriti. So that is why we make nice prasadam, we dance in Harinam, we try to make it attractive. Then people say, oh, this Hare Krishna is very nice. The moment he got Sukriti. So overall, if you see, first we have to give them Sukriti. Somehow make them appreciate. And everything depends on a situation. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, he was very adventurous. He invited a German scholar to speak. And he had a plate with meat and cigarette. We can't do all that, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did, so that he could feel comfortable discussing with him. And this man was, he felt comfortable, because that is what they are regularly with cigarette. And you can see how lower class they are. But he accommodated that, and he had a discussion on Krishna Bhakti, and that man had a great influence. He had a great influence by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So sometimes we understand their point of view, and we do it in a very, very encouraging way. And you can see, even Krishna to Arjuna, he was very encouraging in the beginning. But then, somehow or the other, we get them to attract, we get them to appreciate. I've seen when we do something out of, you know, you do it, it's good for you, heavy, heavy, heavy. Other day, I have to tell you, I'm sharing this. Not that I'm proud or something, I'm just sharing this point. One proper disciple, Jay Krishna, he was in Fort Lauderdale. And after I gave this presentation last weekend on the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, how it affects our mind and how it purifies us and how it takes us back to the spiritual realm just in the same body. And he said, all these years I have heard so many classes, so heavy, but this was so sweet and light to hear, he said. And he texted, he showed me his text. So there is a Prabhupada disciple group, and he texted, this is one of the top 5 classes I have heard. He was telling that devotee. So then I said, Prabhu, I am humbled. Then I just paid obeisances to him. I said, I need your blessings so that I continue, because I know it is not me, it is Krishna speaking through me. Let me never become proud. So whenever we present something, we present it, oh, it is for your good, and in a humble way and in a friendly way, till they surrender. So somehow we have to attract attention. Yes, if they ask questions, and even when we answer, our mood should, Vaishnava means gradually he develops compassion. Because what happens is, it's always people, because like Prabhupada says, every materialist is infected by enviousness, infected by anger, infected by all these things. And moment something does not touch them right. So it is always good to always think of how to give him Sukriti first. So I have seen also that in devotees in Bombay, what they do when they meet beggars, when they meet different people, so then they give, you know, some prasadam first. So moment you give them prasadam, moment you give them something like that, then they get Sukriti, then they become friendly to you. So in this way, it's very important to cultivate a relationship before we actually give them some philosophy. Just like when we wrote this, I had one more cousin, and I was telling her, meat eating is so horrible, only animals do this. She was very angry, she did not speak to me for 1 year. But when I wrote this Food for the Soul book, and I started presenting it, how much it is good for health, how much it is good for mind, and how much we can develop. So now, when I do it in an educational way, she immediately quits this thing. She started following this book, and now situation is totally different. So then I realized I was preaching so heavy and telling her all these things, you know, without really showing compassion. And it may not be the case every time, but sometimes you try to do good, it doesn't work. So, but we should always try our best. First, give them Sukriti, attract their attention, and then give them philosophy, you know, and naturally it will work, because people want to be loved. Kali Yuga, everybody is frustrated. They want some love and they want some proper knowledge, but, you know, in a friendly way. So I'm sure that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's policy is, that's why first Maha Harinam, give Sukriti or give them some prasad, you know. You first give Sukriti, and once they develop that intelligence, then they are ready for your philosophy. Hmm? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was nice. Mamodaki Mata, do you want to say something? Okay. Vardhana Mataji.
Yes. If nobody has any question, we can end the call here. Paying obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Hevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anant Garantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His great Gaur Nataraj Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.